Hello. Listen. Oh, it's gone off. Oh. Oh, well. Never mind. I thought this would be quite an interesting opportunity for you to hear what it sounds like when we have the washing machine going next door and the church bells down the road. For 1 second, or for a few seconds, we had both going at the same time. But the bells have stopped, but the washing machine's still going. This is the Sherlock Holmes classic tale, The Dancing Men, brought to you by the English program on Audio Boo. Yes, indeed. And this is the edition for the 11th of March. It's Friday, thank goodness. This has been quite a long week for me in many ways. So I'm so glad that it is the sort of the weekend start here, which I think is absolutely great. Here we go, Sherlock Holmes, for the 11th of March, The Dancing Men. So, how long have you been here, Doctor? Since 4 o'clock. Anyone else? Yes, the constable here. And you have touched nothing. Nothing. You have acted with great discretion. Who sent for you? The housemaid, Saunders. Was it she who gave the alarm? Well, she and Mrs. King, the cook. Where are they now? In the kitchen, I believe. Then I think we had better hear their story at once. The oak hall, oak-panelled and high-windowed, doesn't make a lot of sense that, but never mind, had been turned into a court of investigation. Holmes sat in a great old-fashioned chair, his inexorable... His inexorable, is that right? Inexorable, yes. Eyes. Drat. I thought I'd get that right. It looked like I could do it. Slightly too many syllables for me, I'm afraid. Anyway, his eyes gleaming out of his haggard face. I could read in them a set purpose to devote his life to this quest until the client whom he had failed to save should at last be avenged. The trim Inspector Martin, the old grey-headed country doctor, myself, and a stolid village policeman made up the rest of that strange company. The two women told their story clearly enough. They had been aroused from their sleep by the sound of an explosion, which had been followed a minute later by a second one. They slept in adjoining rooms, and Mrs. King had rushed in to Saunders. Together, they had descended the stairs. The door of the study was open, and the candle was burning upon the table. Their master lay upon his face in the centre of the room. He was quite dead. I tell you what, this Dr. Watson, he really is very, you know, his powers of observation are second to none. Near the window, his wife was crouching, her head leaning against the wall. She was horribly wounded, and the side... It's getting a bit graphic, this, isn't it, Pilar? Hey, can we maybe skip this little bit here? We don't wish to know all the details. Well, the passage, as well as the room, was full of smoke and the smell of powder. The window was certainly shut and fastened upon the inside. Both women were positive upon the point. They had at once sent for the doctor and for the constable. Then, with the aid of the groom and the stable boy, they had conveyed their injured mistress to her room. Both she and the husband had occupied the bed. She was clad in her dress, he in his dressing gown, over his night clothes. Nothing had been moved in the study. So far as they knew, there had never been any quarrel between husband and wife. They had always looked upon them as a very united couple. These were the main points of the servant's evidence. In answer to Inspector Martin, they were clear that every door was fastened upon the inside and that no one could have escaped from the house. In answer to Holmes, they both remembered that they were conscious of the smell of powder from the moment that they ran out of their rooms upon the top floor. This is the English program's interpretation performance of The Adventure of the Dancing Men.